Hello, my name is Robert Lipovsky, and I'm a malware researcher with ESET. In this HelpNet Security podcast, I will be talking about grayware. As grayware, we can consider an application that is completely useless to the user, and it only serves to rake profits for the companies behind it, whether it's the developers or the distributors, because many of these applications are distributed using different affiliate distribution models, pay-per-install schemes, etc., etc. And obviously, when we detect this software, there's a conflict of interest. And the major difference between this and regular malware is that the companies that are behind this are known. It's not some unknown hacker or programmer somewhere that we don't know, but it's a company that poses as a legitimate and sometimes well-established company, and they're basically trying to convince us that this software is legitimate. And so they complain about our detection, and this sometimes leads to legal issues. As I said, this stuff is definitely not new, and this podcast is focusing on the latest developments in this area. So first, let's quickly take a look at some of the techniques that these grayware vendors are using. There's the word free is used immensely. It is definitely the marketer's buzzword of choice. And they will be claiming that you can download this and that application for free. While contrary to what is advertised, the tool scares the user to pay for the functionality that was promised to be free. So if nothing else, this is at least false advertising. Another thing that appears in grayware and scareware applications is that they're very annoying and that they're quite often impossible to get rid of in a usual manner. So they will pop up texts that prompt you to install the full version and try to basically get your money. Another noteworthy technique is rebranding. So what these vendors would do is that they will generate tons of seemingly different applications that have a different name and have a different GUI, a different appearance. But if we look underneath, if we look at the code, they are actually rebrands or clones of the same application. And the reason why they do this is that it's similar to the massive generation of different variants used by Trojans. So avoiding detection, but this time not really avoiding detection from antivirus engines, but it's whenever such application is publicized and users are warned to stay away from it. With this rebranding technique, they're able to start off with a clean slate and they are able to trick different users. As I mentioned, they are relying on social engineering tricks, and they are not only trying to convince the victim, the user, to download their applications, but they're using social engineering tricks against malware researchers. They obviously complain about our detection. They are using terms such as false positive. They are complaining that we falsely detect their software, and they are basically trying to convince us that their software is legitimate. In order to accomplish that, they often claim that they have been whitelisted with our competitors, with other AV companies, that they have partnerships programs with that, and honestly, these claims are very unlikely to be true. So what has changed in the past 2 years? There we have noticed definite shift from rogue AVs, false antiviruses, to let's say rogue utilities. You could call them whether they're registry cleaners or some PC tuning applications, optimizers, whatever. And fundamentally, these are very similar to rogue AVs in that they're scareware. They would present you with a scan, with a make-believe scan of your computer, or sometimes not make-believe, but at least exaggerated. Quite often they use empty register keys as an artificial way to increase the error count, and they would misinterpret this as your PC being severely damaged. In comparison to rogue AVs, it is much more difficult to explain and to prove that these applications are bogus. But one might ask the question, are registry cleaners really that bad? And many people actually do, and wonder whether there are actually legitimate benefits to register cleaners and other similar PC tuning applications. Well, if we look away from all those unfair business practices that these vendors use and just focus on the core functionality of the software itself, we can definitely say that they don't deliver the promised performance boost. They often claim that your PC will be running 10 times faster thanks to this software, and these claims are definitely untrue. And another interesting point is that many of these, they promise to get your computer into a state just as if it was a fresh Windows installation. Well, that's pretty interesting, because if we did a scan with some of these applications on a fresh installation of Windows, they still find hundreds of errors. So I'm wondering, are the people at Microsoft doing something wrong, shipping broken Windows? Or is it just, again, a typical scareware technique to get money out of their victims' wallets? Another interesting point to make is that not only do register cleaners fail to deliver the promised performance boost, and that if there is any benefit, it is only marginal, but they can actually have the opposite effect, and they can damage the system. And if they delete some registry key that shouldn't have been deleted, they can actually cause more trouble than they can benefit. But registry cleaners aren't the only things, aren't the only problematic things that the virus lab is dealing with. There's a bunch of other problematic stuff. For example, there were these scam websites. We like to call them 60 euro websites, and it is basically a fraud, and behind this is an organized crime group. What these websites do is that they're trying to get users to register for some premium content, and what these users will not know is that somewhere there is a hidden fee for this premium access. This is usually around 50 or 60 euros. And actually, this mention of this fee is hidden somewhere in a long EULA or contract or something like that. And it's written obviously in small letters, so the user doesn't notice it. And these people go as far with this scam as to threatening their victims with legal repercussions if they don't make the payments. They are extorting them. The companies that are behind this are extortion companies. And the perpetrators behind this fraud, as I said, they're an organized group, and we have seen numerous websites capitalizing on popular events such as the World Ice Hockey Championship held in Slovakia this year, or the Football World Cup last year. So the Slovak liaison in this scam, what they would do is that they would do the translation work. They would set up the companies, the LLC, PLC, SRO, GmbH, whatever. And they would also seek opportunities how they could fool their victims. And the person behind this is one German. And this organized group actually operates in different countries. We have seen hundreds of similar websites operated in England, Germany, Slovakia, and Italy. So basically the whole point of this and why we should bother with these things, and I said before that these issues are quite problematic. The grayware is a very sensitive topic. The decisions that have to be made are hard, but in reality, how different is it from malware? I mean, the objective is still the same. It is about getting money from their victims and providing nothing in return. Many of these vendors, when they complain about their detection, they would argue that no, they are not adware, for example, by definition, because they don't pop up advertisements. Well, that is one of the trends that we have observed in the past, that we no longer see the typical old school type of adware. But on the other hand, we see lots of ad supported software. We see stuff that their business models work in such a way that the user has to suffer something, some kind of program that he wouldn't otherwise want if he wants to have a freeware application. So to us, this is, and if you think about it, this is adware, even though it doesn't display pop-ups. And this definitely is a problem that we cannot neglect, and we have to appreciate. And in order to have hope in this tedious struggle, cooperation among AV companies is needed. There are many different classification possibilities. Many different companies have the options of turning the detection of PUAs on or off and leaving the decision up to the user. Basically, the AV industry have the responsibility to protect the users not only from hardcore malware, from rootkits, and from sophisticated threats, but also from this similar junk, because they're no longer only offering plain antiviruses, but they're offering comprehensive security suites or internet protections and comprehensive products which have other features. So they definitely have to address these problematic issues as well.